Okay, Barb or Ken, you're all set.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can start. Ken, would you like to start today?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. You're doing great. As per script, anyway. Okay, this session of the Independent Oversight Committee is now called to order, and the date is June. Hello.
Hi, this is Tyson. Just want to let you know I called in on a cell phone.
Excellent.
Oh, good.
There you are.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Someone's got to be out there.
My connection's a little tough, but I'm going to put myself on mute, and I'm here on the call.
Perfect.
Okay,
thanks,
good.
Tyson.
And don't get too cold though out there.
Okay.
Don't buckle in yet.
Prime top.
He'll be the most comfortable of all of us. Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Okay. In fact, our entire committee is here, which is just fantastic today, Tyson, just so you know. And for those that can't see, everyone's here today. So anyway, we're going to bring our meeting we're going to bring it to order, and it's June 27th, 2023. And I just want to remind everybody, if you have a conflict of interest, be sure to disclose that. Does anybody have a conflict of interest? I'll just say that. I didn't. Okay, no. And then I would just briefly like to welcome everybody. Like I say, the whole committee's here. Good morning, Joanna and Frederica, of course, Phyllis and Jason and Tyson and Ken and Phyllis. Let's see, did I get you twice, Phyllis? And then we've got some wonderful guests here. Okay, providers. So, we're going to get going with, I'd first like to have Larry and Frederica share with us anything they have from headquarters there. Any updates or anything that we should be informed of? Both, we'll start with Larry and then I guess Frederica. Would that work?
Yeah, sure. That'd be fine, Barb. The only update I have for the group would be the open meeting law training that we had done, conducted June 7th of this year, or this month rather. And if you didn't have a chance to attend the training, the audio and the PowerPoint slides are posted on the website. So if you need a link to that, I'd be happy to post that in the chat. And I'll be looking to schedule another class probably later on in the year, in the fall, try to get that done scheduled in the evening time. Make it a little bit easier for the group to attend that have a stringent work schedule. So I'll be happy to get that done for the group if needed or wanted. So that's really the only update I have.
Good. Thank you.
If you have any questions for me, I'll be happy to take those.
Okay. Thanks, Larry. In fact, I'll take you up on that evening. I did attend the June 7th open meeting class, but I will say it's frankly quite complicated. There's a lot to it. I don't know if all of it actually applies to our situation, but I'm listening and willing to, you know, grow as we go.
Yeah.
So
a lot of the open meeting law is more tailored to other boards and commissions that are dealing with contracts and a lot of money exchanging hands. So there's a lot to that. So we just need to sort through that and find the pieces that fit into the committee. So, and Frederica and I are working towards kind of making it make it easier for the group to navigate that process. So,
will there be? Forgive me. A kind of a modified version, more for more fitting of our committee, maybe. I mean, it was it felt quite corporate, you know, the instruction to me, like you say, in a different setting.
Yeah, I don't know if I can reduce that too much, but we'll work together and try to figure out a streamlined version for the group. And as soon as we get that done, we'll get that out to everybody for review.
Sure, appreciate it. Thanks, Larry. Thank you. Frederica, do you have anything for us?
Hi, Barbara. Forgive me in advance. I'm a little choppy today. I'm having issues with my computer. The only thing I was going to give you all is kind of Larry jumped on it a little bit, but it's just in regards to the open meeting information. And we received, or he received feedback, the auditor. And so there will be a fee that's coming forth that will need to change across the board. So just want to give you a heads up on that when Larry and I are working together to get that information taken care of. So you guys will see that coming forth in the coming weeks. That's all I have, unless you guys have any questions for me.
Just one quick comment on that. I know that we had an auditor at our meetings for quite a few months there, three anyway, and I never received any feedback on that. I don't know. They didn't send an officer to the door, so I don't think I did anything too outlandish, but it would be if you know, a feedback would be appreciated.
Yeah, I don't get the feedback either, and it goes directly to Larry at ADOA, since ADOA is the oversight of all IOC committees. So once they give that information to Larry, then I work so that we can streamline it for our access IOC committee members and in the meetings. So I personally don't get the feedback either. It comes by way of Larry, and then the two of us work together to make sure that we provide the information to you all. So to your point, I didn't get any knocks at the door either. So I know there are a few things that we need to correct. Nothing too big, but again, we'll get all of that sent out to all the committees as a whole so that we are all on the same page and speaking the same language.
Shoo, good. Thanks, Frederica. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you, Barb.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the focus committee reports, and I'm so excited, Jason. I know you're there. I saw you. There you are. Have you got some updates for us, Jason?
Hi, everyone. Just a quick one. Our co-responder program at TPD is moving full steam ahead. Probably by next month, we'll be doing job advertising. And so we're going to have some peers and some social work type folk coming once again embedded with our MIST team. So stand by for updates on that. And that's all I have.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I'm so glad they're bringing social workers on board
Me
to
too.
Help. You know, add to the team. Oh, that's excellent. Anyone have questions for Jason? Mr. Knowledge in our legal system. Anyone? No. Okay. Thanks, Jason. So good to hear your voice always. Okay. All right. We're going to move on to member recruitment, and I'm excited. I'm going to hand this over to Ken. Ken, I know you're there. Please say you're there. Ken, are you still there? Well, we, everyone, are here to nominate and vote upon. We need another vice chair, and we were in hopes that Tyson would be willing and to step in and be our vice chair, second vice chair. Tyson, I'm going to ask you to, are you still there, I hope?
I'm still here.
Yay! Yeah. Tyson, I'll let you speak. Would this be something you'd be willing to do?
I would be happy to support the committee in that role.
Okay, that's
wonderful. And I know that helping with the annual report is one of those tasks, but also just helping with member recruitment, et cetera. Happy to help.
Oh, Tyson, I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, by the way, to all our committee members. I what a dedicated crew. I just love all of you. So what I'll need is I will need a motion for bringing Tyson on board as our vice chair. So I'll wait for can I bring, would a member bring on a motion, please?
I can do that. This is Joanna. I move to bring on Tyson as our vice committee chair.
Perfect. Thank you, Joanna. And I'll take a second.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Phyllis. And then all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I know there's more out there. I don't know. I lost Ken. Well, then, so let's see. Okay. Let's see. Larry, help me out here.
There. Barb, I'm
yes. Oh,
I'm
there you are. There. Wonderful. We just took a vote. We just
no, I know. I've been listening. It slipped onto a mute, but congratulations. Unless we haven't.
Okay.
Just a footnote to that, Tyson, you've been with the organization now. How long?
Probably about 3 years, I think. A little bit plus.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I saw your email. I saw your email as I was driving into a phone service that you asked for that information again, but I didn't see it till as I was calling in. So.
Well, that's fine. I just wanted for the record there because I think, and then also your role as a executive director, so you bring a lot to the table.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yes, he does. Well, the motion passed.
I'll turn over to Barb.
And, okay, thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ken. That was perfect. So, Larry, I can't find on the script how I cover this. Am I good? Are we good to go?
Yes, I believe you are. It's a unanimous vote. So, yeah. Congrats, Tyson.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Larry. Okay, that is wonderful. Okay. I'm going to move on to the IED reports. Has anyone had, does anyone have any news on the, you know, has anybody been reading the reports on the, come on, my server, the
Accident injury,
seclusion, restraint. Is anyone? Yes, thank you. Seclusion, restraint, and accident injury.
This is Phyllis, and I regret to say I have not reviewed them since the last meeting. I still need to connect with Frederica to get myself back on that. And I am now making lists because I didn't remember this morning, and I said, the meeting. So. I'm a little frustrated with myself for forgetting to do that. So I have now got it on my list of things to do today is to reach out to Frederica and get reinstated or whatever it's called to the IAD reports.
Thanks, Phyllis. Perfect. Understood. Joanna, have you had a chance to?
Just a few. In fact, today, right before the meeting, and they looked fine and I submitted, I did notice something within the reports, the category of the report wasn't matching the QM portal category of the allegation. So just a minor, seemingly just a tech glitch, but I flagged that. But so far, no other issues with the reports at all.
Thank you. Thanks. Anyone else have any opportunity? And Frederica, I'll be contacting you, please. I'm still having trouble sorting on the seclusion restraint, which is what I like to focus on. But that's another day. I'll give you a call on that one.
Okay. And, okay.
Yeah, because I know there's a way, but I can't sort it out again how to do that anyway. Okay, well, thank you everyone for your work toward meeting those goals that we have on looking at those reports. Again, last month I checked them and they were caught up, and I don't know who lovingly did that, but thank you whoever has been out there covering those reports and checking the box that says that they've been viewed. So thank you. Okay, I'm going to go on to board and care. Ken, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm on there.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, thank you. I sent an email asking Karen to please send us that information I discussed. Yes, and I have yet to hear back from her. And I, you know, I hate being pushy, so I might email her again. I don't see that she's with us today.
I'm sorry. Hey, this is Karen. I was able to hop on. I am
Karen.
Hi. I don't know how I lost track of your request. My deepest apologies. So I will definitely follow up with you. Do you want to tell the group more about the request that you have?
Yes. As far as site visitations, Ken and I, and well, I actually prefer the unlicensed for many, many reasons. And they're still out there. They're still, our clients are still out in unlicensed homes. And those are the ones that I've visited over the last, I don't know, 10 or more years, and had a lot of, felt a lot of success with those. And so I've asked Karen if she can help me to help me find a list. I know they have a list. Each agency keeps track of their clients and they know where they are. And there was a time that we were provided a, which was an amazing gift, but we were provided a list of where these people are. And then I would make an appointment and two of us would go out and we'd do a full visit. Interview two of the people at the site and then come back to the committee and we're able to give a report. So that's what I'm looking for, is that list of where are these people. Things, of course, got really jammed up with the COVID. So that's the request I have for Karen.
Yeah.
Does that help?
And I apologize. I thought I had replied. In checking with our team, we can see what we can identify. We don't actually have a running list of unlicensed facilities. We do know where our members live, but mainly by address. And if it's an unlicensed facility, we may not have much information related to the request. But I will certainly follow up with you. And again, apologies for not communicating that.
Karen, thank you again so much. By the way, I have pages and pages of addresses and sites that used to be functioning back when we were doing this in 2019.
Yeah.
And I can compare that with the addresses that you do have, because generally they don't change. These people, many of them that I met that have these unlicensed places, are very dedicated and they set up to do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's lucrative too, probably. But anyway, the point is so I can compare it with my, I have, like I say, spreadsheets that were provided to me. I'll compare notes with that. So again, thank you. Thank you. So
thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else?
And Tyson, let me jump in. I think a couple months earlier, I think Tyson referenced that he might necessarily not have a list of, but he knew at least the facilities or locations, at least in his work, that he's come across. So that might be added to the, when Karen gets her list too. That may be for Tyson. You can jump in on it. So go ahead.
You know, what I can do, Barbara, actually, if you have an old list that the committee's been provided, I can compare that with current facilities that I know my organization is using.
Okay, I'd be happy to. Let me see what I can, if I can shrink it down. It's on that. It's on legal paper. It's so big, my spreadsheets are. But let me see what I can do. Tyson, that'd be perfect. We'll find
great.
Them.
Thank you,
I know they're still out there. And in 3 years, there's no reason we can't visit them again and see, you know, if we haven't been to one of those sites for almost 4 years now, we could certainly go back and see how people are doing. So that. Oh, thank you, Tyson. That's wonderful. Okay. All right. That's the board and care. And then special populations. That's our Phyllis and Tyson. Phyllis, do you have any news or updates?
Well, I will say there is an agency that provides DDD services for kids, for families whose kids have autism, that I was unaware of. They are in Casa Grande, Arizona City, Tucson, Phoenix. And I wrote the name down and now I can't I think I left the name at home. Anyway, so I happened to be at visiting a family in Casa Grande, and the respite provider was there and explained to me they have services in Maricopa, the town of Maricopa. So I was really excited to hear this agency is providing respite and rehabilitation and attendant care services in the southern region and in the rural communities. It's autism something. And some of you guys may even know about it. I had never heard of it. And so that was really encouraging. The other thing that has happened is I'm working with a family, and there's been a lot of miscommunication, and I have been really struggling getting the provider agency to provide more services. The youth is 10 and has threatened to kill mom, has pulled out a knife, and there has been no CFTs ever. The mother never met the case manager, and now there's a different case manager. Mom and I had repeatedly left messages, called every number we could find, called the supervisor's number. I finally walked across the street to the agency from my office and just showed up, got hold of a supervisor, the member services supervisor, finally, who was very, very nice. We went in a private office and I explained to her the situation. I had an ROI from mom. And she informed me that the case manager is no longer employed at the company, and that the supervisor that I had been given is not the supervisor. And the numbers, and I explained to her, the numbers I had been given were all wrong. And I had left voicemails on one of them, and they had called me back and said, I don't know who you are. I am not this person. So I explained that to her. I said, how come the front desk doesn't know that this case manager is not here? Because I asked her, does she work out of this office? And she goes, well, we're not given that information at member services when employees leave. I said, well, that's a problem, because when families call and are looking for the case manager and have not been informed the case manager has left, and then you guys don't know, that's a problem. So I explained to her the seriousness of the situation with this family. Mom is scared. Mom's a little confused. I'm confused. So the member services supervisor left and went to me. And I waited while she went and found another supervisor, a clinical supervisor. She came back after a few minutes and said that she had spoken to both the clinical supervisor and the clinical director, and that they were going to, the family had been closed out is what their record showed. And I said, well, mom doesn't know this. Anyway, it was not helpful. I did contact mom. As I was walking out the door, I called mom and said, okay, this is what's going on. They're going to call you today. Apparently you guys, looks like you may have been closed. They're going to see if they can't do an administrative re-enrollment. That's much easier than doing a full re-enrollment. They will call you today. And sure enough, mom called me that evening and said, yes, they called me. The next day she got a call and they wanted to do a crisis plan over the phone. And mom's like, she was very confused. So I called back and said, we need a CFT. We need everybody to come to the table. This family is in crisis nearly every day. So I left that message last week. I am going to call mom when this meeting's over and see what's happened. Because I told her, I said, I'm going to call them. So I'm a little frustrated. And I actually, when I sat with the provider, member services supervisor, I said, I've never experienced this before. I've never experienced where the ball has been dropped so badly with a family that is in so much, in such a crisis. And, you know, she apologized, and it's not her fault. Member services, it's, you know, so I'm a little concerned about the lack of communication internally with provider agencies. This is not the first time I've come across it, but it is the first time where I've shown up at the office and the front desk still doesn't know that this employee is gone. And it's giving me still, because when the front desk person handed me the phone numbers for these two, the supervisor and the case manager, I said, these are the same numbers I was given yesterday. I've called. These are the wrong numbers. Well, this is what I have. Well, does this person work out of this office? I don't know that. I said, you don't know if this person works out of this particular office? Is there another office she could be working out of? I don't know. So I was really frustrated with the lack of knowledge of the front desk, because they are the first people that people come in and see. And you don't know that an employee is no longer working there. And you don't know if they work out of that office. So I did express my concern about that with member services supervisor. She felt the same way. She said, we're not given that information. I said, well, that's, you know, you guys need to fix that. But this isn't the first time I've come across that. But usually it's on the phone and I can dig deeper and find who's now been named the new case manager. In this case, it didn't happen. So the family, you know, I don't know what's happened to the CFTs. Why aren't they happening? I know some, it seems to be a hit and miss with everything. You know, this family is in crisis. Mom has called the crisis line. The MAC team came out. They were at a grocery store because this kid was biting her, kicking her, punching her. And the MAC team, I'm assuming it's the MAC team because she thinks it was the provider's crisis team, and the provider agency said, we don't have a crisis team that goes out. So I think it was probably the MAC team. So I think it probably was the MAC team. But the MAC team was so concerned about mom's safety, they followed her home in their car and waited and talked with them, make sure they were okay, that mom was going to be okay. So I realize this isn't happening everywhere, but I'm really frustrated with the lack of services and the lack of sense of urgency. I think a CFT should have been scheduled the next day. An emergency CFT should have been scheduled the next day. Nothing's happened. So that's really, really frustrating and disappointing to me. So that's, you know, one thing on the one side, there's more services for kids with autism in the rural areas. This is frustrating for this other thing. I'm going to reach out to the OIFA department for it's a UHC family. So I am going to reach out. Once I talk to mom today, I'm going to reach out to the OIFA at, I guess you, Don, at UHC, because it is a UHC family. And UHC, as far as I know, doesn't know this is happening because we've not reached out to them yet. So I don't have any complaints against the health plan at all.
Yeah, Phyllis, I just put my email in the chat for you. And that's what I was going to say, Joanne. At Banner, both of us were like, oh my gosh, this is egregious, please call your OIFA. So I've got my I've got my email in there for you.
I saw that, thank you.
And Don, I mean, Phyllis, I just want to say, you know, it's really good for us at the health plan level to hear these type of things, because we don't know what we don't know. Right. And so when you're talking about these things, it's really helpful because we have to ensure that these members are getting CFTs and, you know, just getting this, the care and services and the coordination of care, et cetera, in a timely manner. So thank you for bringing it to our attention. We really appreciate you, Phyllis.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's really important to me that my grandson is so successful in his life right now, and his second, entering his third year of college with a 3.5 GPA because of all the services that people like Tyson provided when he was a kid. So I really believe that we can be successful with these challenging kids and with these families who need us. But you don't know what you don't know. And I had not known that. Actually, to be honest with you, I was going to close this family out because they weren't communicating with me. I sent her a 10-day letter. She called me and she said her phone was broken. And then she told me everything that was going on. And I went and met with her the next day. And I said, let's update everything. What's going on? And then I became, you know, trying to help her with this. But
yeah. Well, thank you for all that you do for all of our families.
The families can be.
Yeah. I've seen it. But I also think there's another layer here is that, you know, just having incorrect contact numbers for our provider agencies is another thing that I heard you say. And just ensuring that there's communication within our agency so that everybody knows. I mean, we have a high rate of staff turnover, and if front office staff, they're the first face for our members, right? If they don't know if someone left, that's kind of a concern. So anyway, Phyllis, yeah, thank you so yeah. much.
Oh, you're so welcome. I will say also, just to let you know that when I called the main number for the behavior health side of this agency, I never got a live person. I always got a voicemail, and they said, an attendant will call you when available. And what I found out from member services is that what she does is she would hear, the supervisor would hear the voicemail, and she would send it on to whoever it was supposed to handle it. So it's gotta be frustrating for families to call and nobody ever answers.
Right. I feel like if it's a United member, it's probably a provider that we all have within our network. So if you could please let us know of that, who that provider is. Thank you so much.
Sure.
And in
sure.
addition, Phyllis, I apologize to the IOC members, but Phyllis, when you send me, if you could do that today with the member information, also the provider, I'll contact you right away. We'll get a CFT going, and then we can notify Joe and the other health plans down there that, you know, who the agency is, and we can break apart this. I want to focus on the member support and getting the CFT going. That's like a 911 in my mind. So I apologize. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for hearing me out, and thanks. I appreciate all the help.
So this is Tyson. I want to add one thing. And by the way, Phyllis, it's great to hear about how your grandson's doing. He's a little old, but he's a third year in college, but that's good to hear. He's doing great. You mentioned something, Phyllis, that on the provider side, we've been noticing as the crisis system in Arizona has changed is that we I know on the adult side, and I've talked to ped clinics as well, are not always getting really good communication about crisis events for members that are enrolled with us. The feedback loop historically had been, or in the recent history instead of the before the change, we would get the notifications pretty reliably. Sometimes now we don't get matched to that member who might be in crisis. I know we as an organization are working with some targeted groups, specifically our SMI members, to make sure that they are attributed to us if they're in crisis. But I just put that out there that it's been challenging on the provider end to know when someone has had a crisis mobile team or crisis line support. And sometimes we hear that from families first, which is not necessarily the best process. So just want to make sure everybody is aware of that. And then my part of special populations, I don't have much, is that Ken and I talked in the past month or so about the folks who are on special assistance in the southern region, that there had been a list previously provided to the committee. And with Frederica's help, I was able to see that that's still pushed out to our FTP site. And so my goal is that as the IOC moves forward, that we're able to make sure adults who have special assistance that we're providing support or oversight as the IOC for Southern Arizona. So I was able to look at it, see it, and then hopefully when I'm not at a place where my phone's about to drop, that we as a community can decide how we want to support or monitor folks, SMI individuals with special assistance. So that was my update, Barbara. Oh,
thank you. Thank you, Tyson. I was just hoping I was going to let you finish. Hey, thanks, Phyllis, so much for that. That was really important. And Dawn and Joanne, Joe, I should say thank you too for your help on that. And thanks,
of
Tyson.
Course.
Yeah, that's all really, really important. And I have to say, I've been visiting somebody in a hospital recently, and I've just noticed how things are different. The place is almost empty. And interestingly enough, referring to St. Mary's. And in that people are working at a home. It's ever since COVID, things are just different. People are missing, and people are, it's just a lighter crew, it seems. By the way, Don, Joe, are you noticing that at work too? Are all services kind of pared back, and you too, Tyson, you and Phyllis are apparently, but it seems that services are really pared back post COVID. Is it my imagination?
Hey, Barbara, I'm about to lose connection, but what I'll add is the public health emergency related to COVID has ended. For all providers, it really should be business as it used to be, with engagement in community. Phyllis, if that happens to be an organization that's affiliated with the organization I work at, let me know. And I really want to help out. I mean, that type of support, or lack of support, really, there's no reason why that should exist anymore.
Okay, thanks. And Tyson, again, if gosh forbid we lose you, but thank you. We're so excited you're on board. So even furthermore, you've always been wonderful, but thank you for accepting vice chair. Thank you. Okay. All right. Let me see here. Where are we? Just a minute here. Yep. Okay. I have nothing for administrative miscellaneous because we did our voting. So I'm going to ask, I didn't get a chance earlier either to thank everybody for coming. Michelle and Joe and Denise and Dawn. So I want to thank all of you. And I'm going to open it up now for any of you that have any updates for us.
Well, thank you, Phyllis. This is Joe with Banner. I have no updates at this time. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Hi, Barbara. This is Dawn McReynolds from United Healthcare. I did want to update. I've been updating all the IOCs. So we have in United Healthcare, we have a complex care team that's made up of like 15 different advocates and liaisons. And that's where the Office of Individual and Family Affairs also sits. So we have our DD liaisons and our tribal liaison and, veteran liaison, our member advocate. And the reason I'm explaining this is because, as Phyllis brought to this committee, if there are concerns or questions or any needed information, Frederica on the call, Phyllis, when you email me, please include Frederica in the email. And moving forward, if there's any other information that any folks from the IOC need, Frederica should be included in those communications to help me assist our leadership in responding. Now, this happens, Phyllis, you brought a direct member concern, which is, directly towards me. But any other information that the IOC needs, please don't hesitate to email Frederica and make us aware of what the needs are from United. So I wanted to explain a little bit of our structure so that this IOC understands that we have advocates and liaisons that can be outreached through Frederica, and also everything can be escalated from that point of contact within our health plan. I hope that helps.
Yes, for me, yes. That sounds wonderful. Thanks. I'm sure Phyllis and everybody picked up on that. Yeah.
And this is Karen Ulick from Arizona Complete Health. No particular updates at this time, but Don, thank you for emphasizing that. And we certainly watch for opportunities to engage and support all members with special assistance needs or the kinds of issues that Phyllis, you outlined so powerfully. And as you were speaking, Phyllis, I was hearing the voice of our children's advocate and just imagining how engaged she would immediately become in the matter and making sure to follow up with the provider. And I know everybody on this call and all of the health plans share that commitment. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Karen. Thank you.
And hi, this is Michelle Rademacher. I am the DDD Independent Oversight Liaison Independent Oversight Committee liaison for the division. I do not have an update today. However, given your discussion, I did do a little researching when you were looking at new service provider available for special populations in Southern Arizona. And I did see in our DDD directory that Arizona Autism United has extended, they announced in that they have extended and expanded into Southern Arizona. So that may be the agency you were speaking of. They have habilitation and respite available and attendant care in Southern Arizona.
I think it is. I think that sounds familiar. Thank you.
You're welcome. If there's anything you need though, just reach out to me through Frederica and I'd be happy to provide you with any assistance.
Terrific. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks a lot. That was good. And I do remember some months back, Phyllis, somewhere along the line, somebody came to us with this really good information about that extended autism services down here. I'm going to look through my notes, and if I can find the reference, I'll do my best too. But I think Michelle answered that question, actually. Yeah. So anyway, thank you. Okay. Any more updates? Anyone? No. I think that's... Did we get everybody? I think we did. Okay. All right. Well, I think unless anyone has any questions or comments or something to bring forward, I don't have anything more for you. Larry, anything?
No, Barb. Everything's fine on my end.
Okay. Well, say something for me. I'm looking through my script. Thanks everybody for your patience. Okay, so I'm asking for a motion for adjournment of today's meeting, June 27th 2023 IOC meeting.
I'm going to adjourn the meeting.
thank you Phyllis, and I'll take a second.
I second that.
Thanks, Joanna. Appreciate it. Thank you. It was sure good to hear all your voices today. It was so nice that you all came. And I hope you stay cool and calm for the next little while. And we will be seeing you again on, I think it's July 25th. Yes. Yeah. Everyone take care. Please be safe. Be safe and healthy. Okay. And Frederica, I'll be in touch with you. I've got some questions about some things. Thank you.
Thank have you. A great week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, great week. Yeah, have a great week, everyone.
Bye-bye. Okay.